We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
IB Nation, welcome back to the Irish Breakdown Podcast. I guess this is going to become a little bit of a thing for me, Ryan Roberts and Sean Davis, to kind of be here on Mondays for a little bit of time, you know, next couple of weeks, because we are in the thick of some very important recruiting visits. And Sean, it's only going to get crazier this weekend because, well, lo and behold, we blink our eyes and it's the Blue Gold game that's about to happen this weekend. So there's going to be a long list of talented recruits that are going to be on campus. Make sure you go to boards@irishbreakdown.com. because we have a running visitor list over there, so you know who's coming this weekend. But also, Sean, it was a very important weekend this past weekend, man, because it wasn't like the craziest of lengthy lists as far as recruits visiting-wise, but with the jersey scrimmage that Notre Dame put on, they had several very important couple 2025 kids that were on campus, several 2026 kids that are going to come to campus. So we are going to recap everything, folks. We're going to recap this past weekend. We're going to preview the rest of the week. Some visitors are going to be coming during the stretch this week, leading up to the Blue and Gold game. We're going to be talking about Blue and Gold game importance, why it matters, and we're going to get everything kind of moving forward here, man, because it's going to move fast, Sean. It is going to move fast. Before we get into this past weekend and talk about a blunder and some very positive signs from Notre Dame recruiting, Sean Davis. How are you, sir?
I'm wonderful, man. This was a fantastic weekend. Great weather in Chicago. You know, weekend was family, fun, church. Everything was amazing. You had the Masters, if you love golf, UFC. You had a knockout right at the end, which was absolutely amazing. Like the
NBA. It was a good weekend, man. It was a good weekend.
The NBA still trying to figure out where everybody was going to fit into the – the seeding yesterday was amazing. Oh, yeah. Being at practice, which, Brian, it's nothing like, you know, good product. Nothing like good product, man. You know, I myself, like you know, Ryan, you stay a little further than I.
Yeah.
When it comes to making a trek down to South Bend. And most of the guys that cover Notre Dame, they're right there. They drive 15, 20 minutes to the stadium. Guy like me, hour to hour, 15 minutes, man. And sometimes I had to get up 5:35, 5:45 to hit the road because South Bend's an hour ahead. So now I have to make up the time.
I didn't even think about that. That's funny.
Do that and make that sacrifice, man. And, you know, we only get two full practices.
Yeah.
Right? The rest of the practices are like five
periods,
which is like 40 minutes.
Right.
So, you know, I'm driving longer than I'm watching the team the majority of the time.
Sure.
But when you have a good product to look at, you don't mind. You don't mind. You don't mind. Yeah. I'll make the trip. You know, when the product, too, that product we watched 2 years ago.
Oh, was that the Tyler Buchner, that one? Yeah,
the Drew Pine, Tyler Buchner quarterback battle?
Yeah, wasn't best. It wasn't the best. Oh, wait, wasn't that the one where didn't Tyler Buchner get hurt, right? And he wasn't able to play in the spring game that year. Wasn't that the one where he like turned his ankle on the steps or whatever?
90% of the snaps, and everybody was like that. Oh.
Yeah.
And now we come to a day where people are talking about, look, ladies and gentlemen, Steve Angeli would start over both of those guys if they were in the quarterback battle.
Oh, talent wise. Yeah. Well, definitely more talented than Drew Pine. There's no doubt about that.
And we're going to sit here and lament the fact that he might be the third or fourth best quarterback in the room. Count yourselves blessed. That's all I have to say. Count yourselves blessed. It was a fabulous weekend. It really was.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Sean, I it was a great sports weekend, to your point, right? I'm actually, we need to talk some NBA playoffs at some point on this channel because I'm a Sixers fan, that for people that don't know that, Sean, and Sixers have an 8-game winning streak going into the playoffs, man. Since Embiid came back, they're looking pretty solid overall. And I got mad, though. I don't know if you caught that one. Sixers had to win, and then the Magic had to lose to the Bucks, right? Mm-hmm. And we know what happened there. The Bucks got throttled by the Magic. So the Sixers are still the 7th seed. They have the play-in game now, right? It's just fine. It's just so funny that Doc Rivers ended up hurting the Sixers again indirectly. My gosh, who would have thought? But that's another conversation for another day. We're here to talk recruiting, but it was a great weekend. Great weekend.
I just hope the big guy's healthy. I just really hope the big guy can stay healthy.
He's healthy right now, man. So, I mean, hey, man, you got to – Sean, this is funny. Someone was talking about this on a podcast, and I didn't 100% disagree with it. But so this is the Sixers every year, the last few years, right? They would look really good, right? And then in the playoffs or like right before, Embiid would break down and he'd be injured and it would pretty much be the end of it, right? You'd just be like, oh, yeah, whatever. You're not going to get out of the second round of the playoffs. The fact that Embiid got hurt early and then got back healthy at the end of the season and ready to go for playoffs, is that a blessing in disguise? I don't know, man. Maybe getting the injury out of the way a little bit early might actually help him. I don't know.
If they can make it in, they end up playing the New York Knicks, that's going to be a fantastic first round series.
Very different teams, right? Very, like, because the Knicks are very guard heavy, and then obviously the Sixers run through the post with Embiid, obviously. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting series if they're able to beat the Heat on. Is that tonight? Is it Monday night?
Tuesday. I think
it's Monday night. Oh, Tuesday night.
I think they're Tuesday.
Yeah, I think you are correct. So we'll see what happens. If you guys want to talk about some basketball at some point, throw a super chat, I guess, so we could give you our NBA playoffs tapes if you guys want that one. But we're going to talk recruiting here, Sean, because it was a great weekend from the sports perspective, from the Notre Dame perspective. You being able to get – I still find it so funny that you live an hour and a half away from South Bend, by the way, and you're in a different time zone. I live – 10 and a half hours away and I am in the same time zone. That's just in my mind. I'm just like, that's so weird.
That's crazy,
but,
right?
Yeah. It's really strange how time zones work, but we want to talk about recruiting, Sean. And I want to start us out because there was guys, look, 90% of this last weekend, probably more, was all positive for Notre Dame. Like, let's be very honest about that. Super positive, but I want to get the negative out first, right? Let's get the negative out. And then let's move forward here, right? Let's move forward and let's just, you know, keep chugging forward because Notre Dame still has a chance to solidify a very good 2025 class. They have some good early connections in the 2026 class. So Notre Dame recruiting is in a good spot, right? But let's talk about the negative and then we'll get into all the positive, which is, I think, a good way to take this one, Sean. I want to start with 2025 Frankfort, Kentucky, Western Hills defensive lineman Javion Campbell, 6'5", 265 pounds, basketball player by trade. Okay, basketball player by trade. 1 year of football, 14 and a half sacks as a junior, and he's being courted by some of the big dogs in college football. So from the Georgias, the Alabamas, Ohio States, a long, long list of great programs have now offered Javion Campbell. Notre Dame was in front of them, though, Sean. It was a couple months ago at this point that Notre Dame was one of the lone major offers on Javion Campbell's list because he's obviously a little bit of a late riser from a recruiting perspective. Well, Sean, Javion was supposed to come this weekend. As it turned out, did not make the trip. Okay. There is a lot to decipher here and a lot that we're not going to get on into on this podcast. This is more for a talking conversation at boards.com. Honestly, there's information that's out there that is kind of just not fitting well together, right? Like there's some conflicting reports and I don't want to put conflicting reports out there. I want to report what I know to be true. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to report the truth. And then we're going to talk about this, the situation of defensive line recruiting in 2025. That's what we're going to do. Okay. The facts are that Javion Campbell did not make the trip to Notre Dame. We don't anticipate Notre Dame being an option for Javion Campbell. I personally believe, and here's the speculation on my part, is that I think this was more a Javion Campbell-led decision than a Notre Dame-led decision. That's my opinion, though. So I know there's other reports that probably would push back against that. But regardless, the facts. Javion Campbell did not make the visit. He is probably no longer an option for Notre Dame. This one doesn't sit well with me, Sean. Doesn't sit well with me, man. Because I think Notre Dame had a chance with Javion Campbell if they would have went in on this recruitment early when they offered and pushed hard from the beginning, I feel like they would have had a chance at him in the end. They were ahead of the curve, and I think they wasted the curve, you know, for the lack of a better terminology. I think they wasted it a little bit, but Javion Campbell is not going to be a member of the 2025 class for Notre Dame. Ended up not making a visit, and we don't anticipate that being rescheduled or Notre Dame being an option for Javion moving forward.
which is a departure from traditionally under Marcus Freeman what Notre Dame has done, which is get ahead of the curve on big-time talent, right? Because you know the other big-time programs are going to be coming on later. Establish the relationship, get the young man to campus one or two times, and then try to see if you can hold on or get the commitment. And like you said, you squandered that opportunity. And I'm sure we're going to dive into it, man. There seems to be some troubling trends coming when we talk about defensive line recruiting. It's specifically for the 25 class. You talk about some of the other classes. Development-wise, I think defensive line has been a pleasure. Based upon what I saw on Saturday, development-wise, Notre Dame seems to be pretty good at developing yes. their young defensive linemen and the talent that's coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. but from a recruiting standpoint, I understand fans that might have a question about right. what's going on. So I'm sure we'll get into that, but it's just disappointing that this young man wasn't able to stay connected to Notre Dame throughout the rest of the recruiting process.
Yep. And we'll talk about, I forgot to mention, Sean, at the end, we're going to talk about just kind of the state of 2025 recruiting and what's left, who's on the board, what positions are still active, where does Notre Dame need to close? Sean, I don't know if you agree with this, so I'm just going to throw something out there, because we'll talk about a little deeper about defensive line recruiting in 2025. But Coleman had just said something in the chat, which I think is very interesting. I think it's a very interesting conversation. So Coleman had said, it's not as bad as edge recruiting. That is puzzling. And Coleman, I actually slightly disagree with that, right? Like, I think Viper recruiting is very inconsistent puzzling, and we'll talk about that. We will. But I really am worried about the interior defensive line future of Notre Dame. I am personally, because right now, 2024, I'm not worried about it at all. You have two very good defensive tackles already back. You have a couple of good young ones in the pipeline. Interior defensive line on the field is going to be pretty good, in my opinion, in 2024, especially, and then 2025, if guys are able to take jumps, I think they'll be fine. But I look at the last three classes, Sean, I'm like, 2023, you got Devin Houston, who's a true interior player, right? But then you lucked out with getting Armel Mukum, but who eventually has now developed into an interior player, but we'll see what he develops into. We're not 100% sure about that one, right? 2024, Sean, you got one defensive lineman, interior defensive lineman. You got Sean Cevallano. That's it.
That's it.
You forced Owen Wafel out of the class. You didn't find a replacement. So you came up short on numbers in 2024. 2025, as of today, look, Notre Dame seems to think that Joseph Reef is going to be an interior defensive lineman in the long run at Notre Dame. Maybe he is, but right now he's 240 pounds. So we don't know if that's going to be the case or not. We'll see how his body develops, right? So there's a chance, though, that true interior defensive linemen, you got two in the last two classes in 2024 and 2025, unless you find another guy that fits inside, right? So I think interior defensive line recruiting actually gives me some pause, man. I think I'm a little bit worried about interior defensive line recruiting. Edge, I think they're going to end up being fine. Do they need to be better at recruiting Viper moving forward? For sure. And we could talk about that in nauseam, and we will talk about that in the 2025 board at the end of the show. But and Coleman, I'm just having a conversation, man. Like, this is no shots at you at all. I'm just stating my side, where I actually think interior defensive lineman is a little bit of a more hairier situation is all I'm doing, right? Like, it's no shot at you at all. You're a great member of the chat. I'm not throwing shade at all, I promise. I just think, Sean, that if you don't find answers to interior defensive line recruiting moving mm-hmm. forward, it's going to become an issue in a couple years, man. And people could always say, you know, go to the portal. But Brian said this on the message board, and he's spot on about this opinion, is that who are the great interior defensive linemen that Notre Dame has gotten in the portal, shown that they can get? I mean, the only guy that they got is, so far as what, Chris Smith? And Chris Smith was a solid rotational player, but like, yeah. How do you know that Notre Dame is going to be a team that can go into the portal and get a high caliber interior defensive lineman? I mean, what proof do we have of that right now, right? So I just think that it's a little bit of a hairier situation, interior defensive line. I think Notre Dame's got to get something figured out, man. And I just think that Javion Campbell is just the latest instance of, like, a misstep in recruiting. I just think it was a misstep. I do, personally.
I mean, look, you thought the Fisk kid was a slam dunk, right?
An Indiana kid? Yeah. From Indiana, 40 minutes away from Notre Dame. Yeah, I thought that they had a pretty good chance with him. Yeah, I did.
They couldn't get him. So, yeah, you're right. You're right. And it begs the question. And, you know, we don't want to bring up open old wounds when it comes to interior line recruiting 23 and 24 class, but it is what it is, right? And like you said, Viper, edge rushers,
yep,
pretty decent success. There are some kids in the 26 class, pot of gold offers that we feel like, okay, they've done a good job in that class identifying top talent and mm-hmm. building the numbers on the interior of the defensive line. But from 25 class, it continues to be a struggle, it seems like. And you try to feel like, yo, what is the issue, right? Okay, you have a Davion Dixon already in the class.
Well, I like Davion. Yeah. I like Davion a lot, yeah.
Do you feel like, okay, we have our one guy.
Yeah.
Now let's slow walk or, you know, evaluate it from this standpoint. I don't know what the plan is. I don't know what the master plan is. I would be very interested in seeing what it or hearing what it is, but I can't say that we can see it playing out in any way, shape, or form. It's almost like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here?
Sean, and I'll say this, and then we'll move on to this after this. I don't think it's a lack of efforts in recruiting. Like, I really don't. I think just like there's been a couple weird evaluations on the defensive line. Just a couple weird ones, last couple cycles where I'm just like, mm-hmm. I don't understand what the vision was. Because I just think that there's – and this is natural, right? Like, I think Al Washington and the defensive line staff likes a certain type of player. And I'm totally cool with that. Recruit who you think fits. I'm good with that. But then I think that there's been a couple evaluations and a couple kids that just didn't push for that. I just think's kind of like, isn't that your type though? Like he kind of seems like he would have been your type. And there's just, I don't know. There's just like a very conflicting opinion on that right now. So I don't know. We'll talk about defensive line recruiting a little bit later in the show, but that is the Javion Campbell situation. I guess we'll call it probably not going to be an option for Notre Dame moving forward, but let's move on to the positives. Okay. Yeah. And someone said Notre Dame has Brendan Vernon at defensive tackle. I mean, we'll see. We'll see.
Once again, you're talking about development.
So he's 274 pounds right now. Like you don't know if he's going to actually play defensive tackle all the time. You know, if he's in the long-term plans for Notre Dame, like it's just, that's a lot of speculation, man. It's not like he ballooned and he's a 290 plus pounder and he's a clear vision inside. Like you may be forcing a square peg into a round hole. Honestly, like that might be a situation that you're in with Brendan Vernon, but we'll see. You know,
which is why we love just in the Chicago area, the Chicago kids along defensive line that they're going after. Dude, it's so much versatility in those three kids that we covered last week when we did the show. That if they just land those three kids, you feel really good about the evaluation of the defensive line. If you just get the Chicago kids, but we don't know where those kids line up on the board. They might prefer this kid. They might not prefer this kid. So that is what we're talking about. Like, what is going on with the evaluation? It doesn't seem like anything that we can lock into to say this is what I think. When Mike Brown came in, we immediately started to see, okay, this is what he's looking at. This is the type of kid that he's looking at. Run after catch. Man, we see this.
Right.
I don't know. Like, can we say without question what the game plan on defensive line and recruiting is?
Not really. No. No, I would say this, that the things that I know about Al Washington is I think Al Washington likes length and guys that can play multiple positions. That's what I feel like Al Washington likes. But again, even there's a couple instances in there where I'm just like, that guy had length and positional flexibility and they didn't want to push for him. So I don't know. I don't know. So we'll see. We'll see. But regardless, that's the Javion Campbell situation. Sean, I wanted to talk about this because we weren't going to Backups had a funny response, Sean, where he said they're telling KVA right now to gain 70 pounds. That's absolutely hilarious. I hope they obviously they would never do that, but it's just really funny. Sean, let's talk about some positives now, okay? This one is actually not on the message board yet. So I have an Intel piece that I put up on Saturday night. Was it Saturday night? Yeah, Saturday night. And then it's kind of been growing a little bit. There's one major player missing from this Intel piece because I had just gotten word about a little bit of information before the show started. So even if you're not on the message board, this is the first time that you'll be hearing this a little bit, right? Is that San Juan Capistrano, I probably pronounced it terribly, California, J. Sarah Catholic linebacker, 2025, Madden Ferriamo made his second visit to campus this past weekend, Sean. Second time to campus. Notre Dame was included, despite him only being on campus once, and it was over a year ago. He was Madden still included Notre Dame in his top four schools a little over a month ago. Okay, so obviously Notre Dame is pretty high on his list. Madden visited this weekend. I was told by a source, and this is why we're not going to go super in depth on this one because I haven't had the chance, full transparency, I haven't had the chance to talk to Madden one-on-one yet, okay? So everything that you guys see on the message board, for the most part, is me talking one-to-one with kids, and that's why I feel like it's very good sourced because directly from their mouth, right? Directly from their mouth. Madden Ferriamo, though, I am told that Notre Dame did very well for themselves this weekend, Sean. There are some believe that Notre Dame is the slight leader coming out of this weekend, okay? I've got that from a very reliable source that he is. They think that they have a slight lead, and Ohio State is apparently the main team to watch for Madden. You know, he's got USC in his Final Four, who is I know he's been very high on in during the duration of his recruitment as well. But it sounds like Notre Dame made a big move with Madden Ferriamo this week. Now, saying they have a slight lead is not saying that today, if we did crystal balls here, that I would be putting a crystal ball in for Madden Ferriamo. That's not what I'm saying at all. I think Ohio State, especially, has a chance to reclose that gap and maybe take a lead again. I mean, we'll see what happens, right? But from the phrases that I heard was that Notre Dame they had to make up some ground going into the weekend. It sounds like they not only made up the ground, but maybe took a slight lead. Now, I think this one is going to come down, though, Sean, to the official visits. I think that this one is going to be very dependent on, one, getting him back, okay? Getting him back. And then also, obviously, you have to close at that point. So Notre Dame has a good chance here for Madden Ferriamo, a player that I did not think Notre Dame had a great chance with for a long time here. This might be a Kingston Villiamu-Asa situation, Sean, where it's jockeying back and forth, and Notre Dame's longevity in the recruitment and consistency may end up winning this one in the end. So we'll see if they can close in the end, but certainly a very good weekend and some great great pulse and vibes coming out of this weekend for Madden Ferriamo, the talented linebacker out of Cali.
For the young man to choose a particular practice, everything fell in line. Saturday was an absolutely amazing display for Notre Dame linebackers. Absolutely amazing display. And if a kid was going to come to see what he would look like in Al Golden's defense and be inspired and fall in love with it, that was the right Saturday for Notre Dame to bring the young man in. Like, he saw everything he would want to see. And like you said, another KVA special, another California kid, a connection he can make. He got to watch that young man multiple times flash, make plays, and he could see himself. He could see himself probably in Drake Bowen. First play from scrimmage, swing pass, bam. Like, this is the impact of that defense showing out on Saturday. And it's something that I think we've talked about outside of the show. Like, in recruiting, it's one thing for kids to love the coaches, but you talked about what it comes down to, these visits, right? The unofficial visit, which builds you up to a point to be a major player for the official visits, for the final decision. And you can talk all you want, you can text all you want, but if that product isn't good, ladies and gentlemen, you won't win at the end. And I can honestly say the product on the field to watch when these kids come to watch practices is a lot better to watch for these young men than it was 2 years ago or even last year. It's just it's a better product, and that yields better recruiting. Like, kids want to see themselves on the field. Like, Yep. Campus tour, the coaches, all of that. It comes down to these players. What? Mm-hmm. And that's why Notre Dame offensive line recruiting, tight end recruiting has always been able to be elite. Why? Because traditionally Notre Dame and their practices play to, you know, those tight ends and those offensive linemen can see themselves playing at an elite level in those practices. And that's what it comes down to. And now that trend is starting to change. It's starting to change at multiple positions.
Sean, you did it from a macro level, right? Seeing mm-hmm. all the linebackers. I would take it from a micro level, right? What did you just do in 2024? You got a linebacker from California who was not viewed. You were not viewed as the leader for the majority of this recruitment in Kingston Viliamuasa, okay? And you were able, I'm not saying establish a pipeline, because that's something that needs to be established over a few years. It's not an immediate pipeline. But you're telling me that Madden Ferriamo wasn't at practice on Saturday and saw Kingston making plays, because I read the practice report. I think I heard you talk about him a little bit. Sounds like Kingston was making some plays on Saturday despite being a true freshman in his first spring at the University of Notre Dame. You don't think Madden Ferriamo, as a school in one of the major Catholic schools in California, in the same environment, in a similar situation, couldn't see himself in Kingston Viliamuasa? Actually, I think their families might be friends, by the way. So I think there's some familiarity there. But I really do believe that Notre Dame made a big move there. Now, Notre Dame needs to close in the end, right? Like, this isn't a foregone conclusion type of thing. I mean, I just mentioned Kingston Viliamuasa as a situation that was similar, right? But Sean, I mean, there was a time a couple days beforehand where we didn't know if Notre Dame was going to land Kingston. I mean, it was Ohio State for a little bit there, right? So you need to be able to, you need to be able to close there. You need to be able to close there. Starting a pipeline in California at some of those major schools, St. John Bosco last year, J. Sarah Catholic, hopefully this year, that's big time for Notre Dame. Speaking of big time, can I bring up this young man? Because we haven't talked about this kid almost at all, okay? I want to talk about Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Carl Albert, cornerback, Tristan Haynes, 2025, Sean. Very interesting player. Because Notre Dame's just been kind of steadily, like, kind of chipping away this recruitment a little bit, all right? They've been kind of steadily chipping away. And despite the fact that there wasn't a ton of buzz a couple months ago with Notre Dame and Tristan Haynes, he included them in his top schools list. And Sean, he made his first visit to Notre Dame. Okay. And I do have a recap, a conversation I had with Tristan at irishbreakdown.com. Okay. At irishbreakdown.com. So you guys can go read it over there. It's also on the message board. Notre Dame is putting themselves in a very interesting position, Sean. I'll coin it like this. Okay. I believe Notre Dame is in a good spot with Dallas Golden in the class, still 2025 corner. I think they're in a good spot with Mark Zachary, 2025 corner, out of Indianapolis, Indiana. But I believe that let's say hypothetically Notre Dame gets both Dallas Golden and Mark Zachary to pair with Cree Thomas, there is still a potential want to take in another corner because those kids are all very diverse, okay? Mm-hmm. So Dallas Golden could play nickel if he wanted to. He could play corner. He could play safety. Cree Thomas could play safety. He could play corner. You can kind of mix and match this class a little bit, right? You can mix and match it. So there's a potential to add a fourth corner. And the two names to know, one, Tristan Haynes, who we're talking about right now. The other one is Jameer Joseph out of New Jersey. Those are kind of the two other corners that Notre Dame is still recruiting heavily. Well, Sean, I'll put it this way. Tristan Haynes, despite going to Carl Albert, which is a kind of a feeder for Oklahoma, right? Getting a kid out of Carl Albert away from Oklahoma is a big thing, which is why ultimately, if you ask me today, I would say probably still Oklahoma. Right? Like probably, but Notre Dame put themselves in the position to be in this until the end, Sean. And anytime you do that with official visit season still in front of us, I think they got a shot here, man. Talked a lot about the qualities he sees in Notre Dame that are similar to him. Hardworking, head down, nose down, like, and the physicality aspect of playing defense at the University of Notre Dame. Some things that you hear that not everybody says, right? And that shows kind of uniqueness to who Tristan Haynes is and the uniqueness that Notre Dame is. So Notre Dame, I think, has a little bit of a chance here with Tristan Haynes. I think they have a chance. Now, he's not in commitment mode. And he talked to me and he said, I want to take my officials. I want to make a commitment before the season, but I want the official to be the last kind of data point to making a decision, right? So Notre Dame, I think, could be in this until the end, Sean. Still going to be hard to get him out of Oklahoma, but Tristan Haynes' first visit to South Bend was very, very positive, to say the least. A guy, by the way, Sean, if there's a shortage in wide receivers in the future and Tristan Haynes is on your roster, I'll let him go catch the rock too, man.
Man, you talk about run after catchability at the wide receiver position, like kick return value as well, punt return value. And then a guy that can literally be that lockdown field defensive back. You have to love it, man. You have to love what he can bring, this type of athleticism. But it's just Mike Mickens, right? Mike Mickens, look, this type of talent, the fact that you're getting that type of interest from a kid, from a feeder school to Oklahoma, we just went back to programs and linebackers that were, traditionally feeder schools right to USC. Like these type of kids, like a KVA, like a Ferriamo, they're going to USC. Linebacker, they're the next Junior Seau, without question, right? They're the next Troy P, that's going there. Now everything is changing, right? Because of the coaching staff and guys that have a clear line of what they're doing and what their evaluation is at the position. Mike Mickens does that, right? And so we see that when he takes control of the entire room with Chris O'Leary's departure to the NFL. Mm-hmm. Now, can he make an impact on Jadon Blair? he made a heck of an impact on Jadon Blair when he came in, right?
Big time.
That's the question. Can Mike Mickens
do both? So much, Sean, that Jay Blair, his father, was in our chat the next day, man, when we were recapping the visit. So, Absolutely. Yes, you're correct.
So now we talk about this young man, and once again, what are we talking about? We're talking about this kid coming in, and it's Mike Mickens, man. It's his evaluation. It's his ability to not only say, look at what I've done. Look at what I've done. And look at what I'm currently doing. Mm-hmm. Look at what Benjamin Morrison is going to be. Look at what Christian Gray is going to be. Look, dude, the pipeline is starting. You can be in that pipeline. And then he can say, yeah, I know you're an Oklahoma kid. What's the last top Oklahoma defensive back that they developed? What? Because this is what we're building.
Yeah. It's so bad, Sean, but you said mentioned Oklahoma defensive back, and my mind went to like Roy Williams, and I'm like, there's got to be somebody more recent than Roy Williams, right?
Think about it. But I mean, I don't even know if he would say that. I'm just saying that from my perspective. he's building that defensive back room to get to that echelon to where, as if mm-hmm. you want to negative recruit, you can just say, look, it's almost like what Alabama's able to say, what Georgia's able to say with their defensive back rooms, with two coaches that specifically coach that particular position. That's why Alabama and Georgia are so good at getting defensive backs. Like, okay, not only do we, the head coach, hands-on coaches me. Mm-hmm. Like Kirby is going to coach me hands-on. Nick Saban is going to coach me hands-on. And they have a track record of getting their defensive backs to the NFL. That's something Mike Mickens can start to lay down for Notre Dame, even though he's not the head coach, but he can start to lay down, even at the safety position now. It's very exciting. Look, ladies and gentlemen, please go watch this young man's film. Please.
It's pretty good, man. Pretty good.
Pretty darn good.
It's pretty good.
Man. Yeah.
Sean, can I say this? And this is wild to think about, okay? Someone said Tony Jefferson is a recent Oklahoma DB. Okay, that's fair. Tony Jefferson's a good player. That's a good player.
Peyton's.
Peyton Bowen could end up being a stud, but yeah.
He's a safety,
Well, so Sean, ready? I'm going to say this, and it's wild to think about. We'll talk about this more in the end a little bit, but this is what 2025 secondary can end up being. I'm only going to say this, Sean, with players that I believe Notre Dame leads for right now. Okay. For right now.
Okay.
So right now you have at corner, Creed Thomas already committed in the class. Mm-hmm. I believe Notre Dame leads for Mark Zachary and Dallas Golden. Okay. At safety, they already have Ivan Taylor, who's a stud, and they have Ethan Long, who's a very good player out of Connecticut. And I believe they lead for Jadon Blair right now, too. If you get that class that I just said of players that you have commitments from right now and lead for, okay, that is the best secondary class Notre Dame has had in my memory. I don't know one. I don't know. I don't like what class is better than that? I mean, definitely not anything recent, like nothing even close to recently, right? Like it's.
If that class indeed shows up this time next year, there are going to be some people in the secondary in Notre Dame that have to make some serious decisions. Simple as that. Might be some second, third year players that might have to say, you know what?
I mean, Sean, like, this is no exaggeration, okay? 2025, let's just talk about safety for a second. 2025, Adon Schuler sounds like he's taking a step this spring, mm-hmm. man. That's what mm-hmm. it sounds like, even though I heard he met someone in a hole on Saturday, did not win that battle, but that's a different conversation for a different day, okay? But Adon Schuler, I believe, is going to be a very good player for Notre Dame long-term, okay? I believe Luke Talich is going to be a nice player for Notre Dame long-term. 2024 safeties that are coming in, I think Bronte has the chance to be that dude if mm-hmm. his body develops, he stays healthy. You know, there's a lot of things around that conversation. But legitimately, Sean, if you got Jadon Blair and you have Ivan Taylor and even Ethan Long, you throw Ethan Long in this conversation, all three of those kids are talented enough to compete year one at Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. All three of them. And if I'm them, I'm like, bro, I'm going to go start next year. I'm going to go start in 2025. I'm going to figure it out because there's going to be a safety spot open, you know? I mean, there might be two depending. I mean, like, it looks like Adon's taking a step, right? And Adon might be a starter this year, and he might be the guy, right? So I'm just saying, man, that safety's open for Notre Dame moving forward. It is because you're going to be out without Xavier Watts. You are. Rod Hurd only has 1 year. Like, you're going to be without those two kids. So there's going to be a lot of opportunity at safety. At corner, there's going to be a spot open too because Benjamin Morrison's probably going after this year, most likely. Jordan Clark is going to be going after this year at the nickel. So, I mean, you know, Micah Bell looks good, right? Like he mm-hmm. might be the starter at nickel in 2025, maybe. You have a couple of nice young corners coming in and Carson Hobbs and Leonard Moore. But, I mean, there's no reason to think that a Dallas Golden, Mark Zachary, Creed Thomas, like they can't come in and make some noise, right? Like you come in and you're ready to go. So, not only does secondary potentially one of the best Notre Dame has ever had, maybe the best ever Notre Dame's ever had. I'm not a recruiting historian like that. I don't know what they pulled in 1995 or 1998 or like something like that, right? But they have the talent to not only come in and be the best recruiting class that we've seen in the secondary ever, possibly, but they also have a chance to compete in 2025. Like they have the chance, man. So Tristan Haynes might be a part of that. Because could you imagine, all that was to say this, is that if you just close on the players that you are leading for, and you get that six-man class, there's a possibility they could still add a Tristan Haynes or Jermaine Joseph. Where it's like, well, Mike Mickens is going to be a good spot over the next few years because you just added a stupid amount of talent in 2025. Like, wild to think about, man. Absolutely wild. Yep. Well, let's move on because we're delaying this conversation, Sean. Lot to get through here, guys. So we're going to work through a little bit faster because we got three other segments to get through, by the way. This is not the only segment of the show, so we need to get moving a little bit. Sean, I want to bring out – this one is near and dear to my heart, okay? Near and dear to my heart. We're actually going to talk about a couple of players that have USC connections in back-to-back mm-hmm. segments here, okay? Let's talk about 2026 Los Angeles, California, Loyola. Cornerback Brandon Lockhart, who's considered the number 15 overall player and number one cornerback in the 2026 class, according to 247 Sports. So he's considered very high, has offers. Well, he's currently committed to USC, by the way. Also has offers from Georgia, Alabama, Auburn, amongst a long list. Sean, he committed to USC in October. Despite that commitment, he is keeping his options open, sir. And you know where he was this past weekend, Sean? You know where he was? He was in South Bend, Indiana, my guy. He was in South Bend, Indiana, okay? First and foremost, getting a USC commit on campus is a pretty good look if you're Notre Dame. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just out of the spitefulness of our hearts, we all hate Notre Dame here. I mean, we all hate USC here. So out of the spitefulness of being a Notre Dame fan, awesome to get a USC kid on campus. From my conversation with Brandon this weekend, Sean, Notre Dame gave him a lot to think about. Okay. He felt it. He said something like the feeling was just different. Like he couldn't even explain it. Okay. I will make a prediction here, but it's not the prediction that you guys are seeing. Okay. Or not the prediction you guys are expecting. I don't know if Brandon Lockhart ends up with Notre Dame in the 2026 class. I don't know that, Sean, but one thing that I do believe will happen is I don't believe that he'll end up with USC. That's my intel. Wow. And that's not based upon him telling me that. Okay. Mm-hmm. By everything he is saying, he's locked into USC, but he's keeping his options open. Okay. That's from Brandon. But from my pulse, I just believe that he's very open. Okay. Very, very open. And I would actually be slightly surprised if he ended up with USC in the 2026 class. So Notre Dame, I think, made a move there, but there's going to be a lot of other schools to fight against here. So this isn't a Notre Dame's going to make Brandon Lockhart flip to him, right? It's not going to make Brandon Lockhart flip to him. And he's not a USC legacy. We'll talk about the USC legacy next, actually. But yeah, John, Brandon Lockhart in a interesting spot there, man. We'll see if Notre Dame's able to do enough to push him to the class eventually, but I do think that he is open for business potentially.
All right. Legacy next, right?
Yes. Oh, this one's fun, right? So I know you talked about him a little bit at one point, Sean, because I think you remember the father. So
that's why I was like, yo, you know, I watched this dude's father play. Like, this is crazy.
Well, all right. Well, so here, I'll intro it and I'll let you get going on this one, man. Rancho Cucamonga, California, 2026 cornerback RJ Sermons, or better known as Rodney Sermons Jr., Sean. Mm-hmm. Father played running back from 1994 to 1997 for the USC Trojans. Okay, from the USC Trojans. What are your recollections of his father? Good player?
Hey, man, I remember when he came in as a freshman, he was supposed to be one of those next great in the line of great running backs at USC. And he never reached those heights. I do remember he had a knee injury, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Early in his career, and he mm-hmm. came back from it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was, coming out of high school, he had some legendary numbers. Yeah, he had some legendary numbers out there in California. So his kid and his film doesn't disappoint. Does not disappoint. Legacy USC. So, you know, he probably grew up. But, I mean, Notre Dame just landed a commitment from a kid that we felt like growing up in the shadows of another great historic program. Yeah. We felt like, oh man, it's probably going to come down to that program and everybody else. And lo and behold, Notre Dame ends up getting a commitment. So, you know, it could be the same thing for Sermon.
Yeah, man. So we'll see what happens with Sermon moving forward, but a very good initial look at Notre Dame. I want to read a couple quotes here, Sean. Okay. So a couple quotes. He said, and this is something that we hear consistently with Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. Just consistently. The conversations between the coaches were good, he said. They taught me some valuable things and were honest and real, which I liked a lot. We hear about honesty a lot with the Notre Dame staff, a whole lot. And then he also said, Sean, the school is just different, and I like it and what it has to offer beyond football, Sermons explained. I would see myself potentially fitting well as a high-level cornerback to learn under Mike Mickens. That sounds like a lot of interest to me, sir. Sounds like a lot of interest to me. Again, first visit to Notre Dame. First ever trip to South Bend, Indiana. But first and foremost, because these are all unofficial visits, right? Which means Rodney Sermons and his family had to get Rodney Sermons Jr. to campus, right? So, you know, it costs a pretty penny going from Cali to South Bend, Indiana. It's not the easiest trip of all time as far as from a money perspective. So they got him to South Bend, Sean. It certainly sounds like they did a great job there. We'll see. And he's already talking about, you know, coming back again. He's already talking about coming back again. We'll see if the high from the visit wears off and that changes at some point. But certainly things are in a good spot with Rodney Sermons Jr. Last guy I wanted to talk about. And this is a very interesting one. Okay. A very interesting one. And we had someone ask if Notre Dame's selling the 4-for-40 with these top recruits. They're always going to sell that. I've heard some a different pitch on it, though, Sean. I don't know if you heard this from a couple of recruits. Some have said now 4-for-forever. And I was like, that's deep. Like, that's pretty deep, man. 4-for-40 is nice, but like 4-for-forever. I was like, oh, okay. That's a little different extension.
If you are a handsome dude, do you really lead with that? That's what Notre Dame, who it is, and their education and degree. Like, you don't have to talk about that. You don't have to lead with that. That's you. As soon as you walk up, they know. As soon as they get the letter, the offer, they know. It comes with the territory. So now that that's established, when you go after these elite kids, it's like, okay, you already know that part. We can talk about that. But now, what we've been hearing, they're being honest and truthful. That's what we hear from all these kids. We heard Marcus Freeman after the practice. We're having honest and truthful conversations with guys in our current roster.
Yep.
That permeates. Jeremiah Love talked about it in his recruitment. But Coach McCullough, man, we purposely tried to see if we were going to be lied to. And Notre Dame passed the test with flying colors.
They were literally trying to set them up to be caught cheating. Caught lying, excuse me. And Notre Dame passed the test with
Notre Dame's at a place where you don't have to lead with that. You're handsome. You're a good looking dude. You know that already. Now let's see what your other conversation is about. Let's see if you're funny. Let's see if you can make me laugh. Let's see if I can have fun around you. Let's see all the other things. And when you hear kids talking about, we all hear all the kids say the same thing. Like the 26 kids that got the offers for the pot of gold. What do they all say? Man, Notre Dame, getting the offer from Notre Dame, man, is
special.
Big time school is special. Offer. Yeah, that's fine. You're going to get that. Because the kids already know before they get the offer. They already know what Notre Dame stands for.
That's a good point, Sean.
Once they start visiting, though, what else do you have?
Well, Sean, that's a great point because we always talk about how big visiting is at Notre Dame because I think like 98% of kids that get offered by Notre Dame understand that like Notre Dame's a very unique program, right? Like it's a very unique pitch, but I don't know if everyone thinks that they necessarily fit until they visit Notre Dame, right? Like fit into that those values and it's just, yeah, man, I think that's a great point. It really is because we always talk about, you know, it doesn't become real until you get on campus, but like, why is that? Right. Cause I think that a lot of kids don't know that they can be that difference all the time. And I think that that's why some gravitate towards it and some don't gravitate towards it because it's not just not a place that they are comfortable with, a place that they do fit. So yeah, I think Notre Dame is different in that sense. Last guy I want to talk about from the past visitor, Sean, and then we'll get into some early blue gold conversation. We'll get into some visitors this week and during the blue gold, and then we'll talk about the rest of the 2025 class. Okay. I want to talk about a young man that visited this weekend, Sean. That's a pretty highly rated kid that does not hold an offer from Notre Dame. Okay. So that is, and if Tommy Guns is in the chat, he is going to hate hearing this because apparently this is a school that he does not like as a Ohio guy. So Akron, Ohio, Archbishop Hoban, wide receiver, 2026, Sean, Peyton Cook, who is rated on the Rivals ranking as a four-star, number 94 overall player, number 15 wide receiver in the 2026 class. So rated as a top 100 player early on by one major platform. He has offers from Michigan, Pittsburgh, Kentucky, Louisville, Miami. Sorry, the list is pulling up. Tennessee, Wisconsin, Purdue, Indiana so far, Sean. So a pretty healthy offer list early for a 2026 recruit and a very healthy ranking for the Archbishop Hoban wide receiver. Well, Sean, we just talked about honesty, right? You want to hear honesty here? Peyton Cook as a top 100 ranked wide receiver in the 2026 class by one platform, the number 135 overall player on the On3 industry ranking, okay? That has offers to Miami, Tennessee, Michigan, among several others, okay? You know what Notre Dame told him this weekend, Sean? That they, and my piece is out there on Peyton Cook, by the way. It was out last night, I believe, or this morning, one or the other. He said that Notre Dame really likes him and they want to continue to build a relationship with him. But they're not extending an offer to him yet, Sean, until he gets on campus, gets back on campus and works out. They want to see him in person, and they want to see what he looks like. And you know what happened, Sean? Because most people would hear that conversation, and a lot of kids would be like, screw that. I'm not getting an offer. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. Well, they were honest to Peyton, and he literally said, I was so grateful that they were honest with me, and I'm going to come back this summer to earn my offer from the University of Notre Dame. I'm coming back and camping, okay? I just want to throw that out there because that was one of the conversations that I was just – I had to take a step back after talking to Peyton Cook because I'm like, a top 100 kid potentially that has a really good offer list at a prominent program in Ohio that has options on the table, was grateful for Notre Dame for being honest with him, and wants to come back this summer to earn his offer from the University of Notre Dame. I just thought that was so different, Sean. Yeah. Like, just the uniqueness of it. I want to give Peyton Cook, like, mad props there for a second, because there's a lot of kids out there that would, again, be like, screw that, dude. Like, go watch my film. I deserve that offer. And he's like, I'm going to work for it. I just thought that was unique, man. Just, like, shout out to the kid. That's a very – but also shout out to Notre Dame for not being dishonest with him, right? Not leading them on and being like, oh, yeah, yeah, just keep in touch. The offer will come eventually. Like, no, they told him straight up, what do you have to do to earn that offer? Like, straight up, right? Yeah. Straight up. I think that's a really great thing, man, personally. Just from me perspective, I thought that was a very honest thing that Notre Dame did, and I applaud Peyton for being mature enough to be like, you know what? All right, sounds good. I'll do that. Bet.
That's great to hear. Coming from both sides. Because in recruiting, you have to advocate, right? I have no problem with parents or recruits asking that question. Hey, what do I have to do? What is it that you're exactly looking for? Like, you want me to come work out? What type of workout? Like, this is a two-way conversation. And so that's what honesty does, right? It brings liberty and freedom to relationships. It builds trust. And Notre Dame is fastly becoming one of the most trustworthy, in my opinion, one of the most trustworthy staff on the recruiting trail. And that is a feather in their recruiting cap that they need to keep there without question.
Well, Sean, that's the updates from this past weekend, man. There's a couple guys we didn't get to. We will get through it throughout the rest of the week, though, guys. We wanted to give you the biggest, well, I'm going to say biggest, the most vital recruits that Notre Dame had on campus this past weekend. Obviously, we talked about the 2025 players that did make the trip. Talked about some early 2026 names to know. We're going to get into some blue and gold talk, Sean. Are you going to be in town, by the way? Are you going to be at the blue and gold game this weekend?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Okay.
All right. Well, we're about to talk blue and gold, guys. And a part of that blue and gold conversation, we're going to talk about some players that are going to be on campus at Notre Dame. We're also going to be talking about some visitors that Notre Dame is going to have this week as well from a recruiting perspective. So don't go anywhere. We have three more segments to go, man. We're not leaving, okay? We're not leaving. You guys can leave, but we're not leaving. We'll be here, okay? Before we go into the next segment, though, you can just hit that like button for me. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast. Hit that notification bell if you're listening to us on your favorite podcast platform, whether that's Apple, Spotify, anything in between. 5-star reviews are very much appreciated. Also, go to boards.irishbreakdown.com. You would have known most of this information today if you were signed up at boards.irishbreakdown.com. Don't tell me to calm down. This is my show. I can be as loud as I want to, okay? Obviously joking. But we'll get to you guys next segment, talking some blue gold game next here on the Notre Dame Recruiting Hour on the Irish Breakdown podcast.